A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to All Starts At We, a podcast in which Leeds fans cast their combined eye over goings-on at Elland Road, giving scrutiny to the underlying statistics and tactical footings at work at Leeds United. I'm Martin Riley and I'm joined today by Dan Halsworth. Dan, how are you?
Pretty good, mate. Pretty good, thanks. It's a long time since I've spoke to you, all of 5 minutes, so a lot's changed in that time.
Yeah, so much has changed. I'm a different person now than I was 5 minutes ago. So this should be an interesting pod. So in case anyone didn't see the review, what have you had for food today?
Oh, okay. So I had a Greek, I think we said gyros, Greek kebabs, homemade. So I made some flatbread, made some tzatziki salad, bit of feta cheese, some grilled chicken, and I tried to keep it fairly healthy, but taste at the same time. And it was damn delicious, if I do say so myself. What about you?
Sounds very good. I had a roast pork roast dinner. Yeah, very good. The pork was cooking for a good 5-6 hours, just nice and slow cooked. And yeah, it was very nice. I was very proud of it. But yeah, we're not here to talk about food, but we always do start with that. We're here to talk today about Stoke City. And Dan actually had a bit of a chat with George from Autolytics, which we will play for you right now.
I'd just like to say, dear listener, one thing. There's also someone else who made an appearance on the interview. A really friendly, lovely little chap called Bert. You may hear him in the background, heavy breathing. Bert is actually George's dog. So say hello to Bert, everybody.
Yes. So not just George from Potlytics, also Bert from Potlytics. And we'll play that interview for you right now.
Hello. And today I'm joined by George from Potlytics on Twitter. How are we doing, George?
Yeah, pretty good, thank you. How about you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm looking forward to the weekend and the game as well on Tuesday. So just for our listeners, we're recording this on Friday. So we've got a couple of games between now and the Stoke game. Anyway, so I'm here to talk with George about Stoke City and the upcoming Stoke City game at Elland Road. So the last time Leeds and Stoke met, it was a victory for Stoke at the Bet365 Stadium. That was back in October. But since then, Stoke have parted ways with Alex Neil. So how do you describe the season up until the sacking of Alex Neil, and sort of how does that fit into the kind of context of the club over the last season or two?
Yeah, I think in terms of Alex Neil, it's probably quite similar to a lot of previous managers we've had in the Championship over the past 5 or 6 seasons. He followed the sort of bravado of coming in and saying, I'm going to fix this team, you know, I'm going to be the one to fix Stoke, I'm going to put all the right stuff in place. In reality, we probably had about 6 weeks worth of genuinely good performances and results at the same time, and that would have been back in March and April of last season. This season, we started really well. We had a really good result against Rotherham, where, albeit against Rotherham, everyone was kind of excited about the big bout of new signings we'd got, the new direction that it appeared we were going in. And yeah, then again, it's just the same thing that we've seen in a lot of Stoke managers, that we start conceding easy goals and managers get obsessed with the weaknesses in the team and trying to control those rather than necessarily play into any strengths. I think that victory over you guys last time out probably perfectly encapsulates that. We won by basically keeping it tight, trying to stay compact and getting a set-piece goal. It worked on that night. It worked a couple of times after that, and then eventually those weaknesses showed up again and we didn't have any strengths to back it up. So I don't think many people could argue that he probably deserved the sacking when he did eventually get it.
You're right, okay. So you're kind of... You're fine with the decision as it was, really, in the context of the club.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that not that I would go, you know, or pretend that I know anything in behind the scenes, but there was a lot of talk of kind of discontent in players and again focusing on weaknesses. Really, very intricate tactical management that was so sort of structured for players that, you know, we'll come on to talk about Schumacher in a second, but as soon as there was a bit more fluidity, you actually saw some of the players who weren't doing so well under Neil start to shine a little bit more. So I think he lost a lot of trust in the players he was using.
I mean, he always struck me as quite a kind of spiky, kind of defensive kind of guy. I mean, that's just personality. Would you say that his football was a bit that way as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And when it worked, you know, that 6 week period, like it's not just a sort of a purple patch, but it worked perfectly. And it was really high tempo, really aggressive, counter-pressing and kind of keeping us on the ball. And when we did get it, we were really quite fluid and quite positive in attack, especially. I remember some games we beat Coventry 4-0 away from home and, you know, Phil Jagielka was in defence, left alone to Mark Gyökeres. So when he had that trust, you know, it worked pretty well. And a couple of bad goals being let in and suddenly he'd sort of lost that faith and everyone started to be stuck behind the ball. We were pumping it out wide to try and keep it away from our midfield where we kept getting played through. And, you know, it kind of came back to bite him in the end.
So Alex Neil was replaced by Stephen Schumacher, as you've already kind of hinted at, who came from Plymouth. So how do you feel about Schumacher, the appointment, and what do you think it says about the direction of the club or the club direction the club are trying to take?
It's a strange one. I jumps up again. It's a strange one for me. I really like Schumacher as a manager. I really like the way that he tries to play his football. I think he's innovative. I think he trusts his players. I think he gives a fluidity and kind of excitement and allows them to show their best side, which is really useful for us and kind of came at the right time for us. I've picked the perfect time for this. No idea what's sending him so mad. I think that fluidity kind of came at the perfect time for us in theory, and the way that he's conducted himself has been really impressive to me. You know, he's owned up at mistakes when we've had Alex Neil, you know, calling himself very famously, I know all the things about football, essentially, in a comment. But for the direction of the club, I think it probably says more negatively. It's the fifth or sixth manager in a row where the playing style has pretty much gone 180. We went from Gary Rowett, who was quite attritional and possession-based, but pretty structured, to Nathan Jones, who was the opposite of that. You know, all action, everyone can be fluid, wing-backs are up front, all that sort of stuff. Back to Michael O'Neill, again, very slow, very low-tempo, possession-based. Alex Neil, very high-tempo and up the pitch. And now back to Schumacher, who is high-tempo, but isn't using any of that width that Alex Neil wanted and is, you know, inverted fullbacks. We've got players being fluid rather than necessarily sticking to one position. And again, it just kind of seems like there's not a lot really in the direction of the club beyond we would like to be good, I think. And that tends to just who is the best manager for us rather than who is the manager we want to do what we want to, you know, what we want the club to be like.
Yeah, so there's no through line, there's no kind of Stoke way of playing.
No, definitely not. And I think that, you know, we can bemoan our recruitment issues, but part of the reason for those recruitment issues, I don't necessarily think we've just signed, you know, 90-odd bad players over six seasons. Essentially, we just keep signing players for one squad and then trying to build a completely different team.
So since Schumacher's come in, results have kind of been mixed, not good really. Three wins, three draws and six losses, if I counted up right. How would you say those results have like reflected performances under Schumacher?
The first sort of seven games we looked really good quality, actually. That the kind of the fluidity was back in the team. We saw, you know, players like Ryan Mai starting to take a little bit more initiative in games. There was a lot more quality coming from our passing, and then a couple of bad results and it suddenly started to spiral again. I think since the loss against Birmingham, a game we dominated, really. We just, you know, it's a championship game, so we couldn't get the goals we needed to win it, and conceded a wonder free kick and a pretty bad defensive error. And since that, I think we've only won one, and it's been pretty bleak to watch, to be honest. Constant errors. I think, you know, if you watch our game against Coventry or the game against Cardiff, our last two matches, that you watch the goals back from that, and it's pretty indicative of what we've been. A decent side that can keep the ball at times, but can't stop conceding, and can't stop giving away those really daft goals out of nowhere. And with Schumacher's style of play being pretty aggressive and kind of based on confidence on the ball and taking risks, it's been difficult for him to keep that going across those sort of last five or six games, I would say.
Yeah, I was just looking at your like XG process, I guess, over the season and over the Schumacher period. And over the season, you're on a per 90 figure of 0.15, minus 0.15, which would put you about 14th in the league. And under Schumacher, 0.20, which I don't think moves in that league table. So, you know, the numbers aren't terrible, are they? They kind of, if you go about that metric, it's not the only metric, but that one is.
No, and I think there's some caveats to it. I definitely don't think we've played badly enough across the season to be in the bottom three. I think, you know, you take that Birmingham game as an example. It's a worldy free kick. It's a defensive error, and we're 2-0 down. And we've got something like 2.5 XG trying to come back into it and just got a goal. Even the games we've lost, you know, you look at the Sunderland game, it's kind of 1.5, 1.2-ish. To each team, it's not, other than Leicester really, it's not horrendous. But I think the caveat for that is that when we concede first, we lose, so a lot of teams will be not necessarily building up that much XG against us, but that's because they've already scored, so they don't really have to, you know, they kind of get the goal, sit back and wait for us to not be able to finish a chance or not be able to get it in the box, kind of thing. So it's been a more difficult season maybe than that XG would show.
Would you say, do you think Schumacher's maybe got a bit of a naive approach, you know, particularly if you go a game down chasing the game, leaving big gaps for the counter, that kind of thing?
It's difficult to say. I think I would say yes in a vacuum, but given that the way that we sit back and defend games is not particularly great either, I don't really see how he could change it very much. I think the only way to get back the confidence into those players is to get them playing properly. And we've tried sitting back. We got the win against QPR by pretty much playing, you know, direct counter-attacking, sit back and get the ball forward to the wingers football. Did the same thing against Coventry and got pretty well beaten. So that lack of confidence means there's always an error coming. So I'm more leaning onto the side of it not necessarily being too naive to keep them playing, but I am also aware that he said in recent weeks, you know, we can't keep playing football. We actually just have to win no matter what.
I mean, what do you think his ideal sort of style of football would be? I mean, you've kind of hinted at that, but how would you say what do you think he wants to do with the team?
I think he's very fluid. As I say, he likes the idea of players being able to shift positions during the game. His fullbacks will come inside into midfield and his wingers will push out a little bit more, and he'll try and kind of keep things vertical basically throughout the game in terms of how they're playing in possession. It's difficult to say beyond that in terms of when we get to the box, because from what I've seen, and probably one of my biggest gripes actually, has been that the play into the box has been pretty much give it to the forwards and let them figure out what to do with it. Under Alex Neil, it was very clear. You get to the byline, you cut it back, or you cross it in from deep. And I like to think there's probably a middle ground there where, you know, our players who are low on confidence aren't always having to think of an idea to get through an opposition. They might have a couple of structures in place, and it doesn't necessarily seem like that's the case at the minute.
Right, okay. So in terms of, like, it's the squad makeup, I mean, how do you think the squad is for Schumacher? Do you think there's kind of players that suit him, players that don't suit him, or do you think the squad's more of an Alex Neil squad, and that's part of the reason why perhaps things are not going so well?
I think it's a pretty okay Schumacher squad, to be honest. There's a lot of dynamism there. I think the big problem he's got is that Daniel Iverson, who's come in as goalkeeper on loan from Leicester, has not had a great start. He's underperforming. He might be the lowest performing post-shot XG keeper per 90 in the league at the minute, but only 5 or 6 games, so pretty small sample size. And he's not got a recognised left-back. Ender Stevens has been injured ever since he's come in, pretty much. Jordan Thompson, a centre midfielder by trade, has been taking that role, which does work okay for Schumacher. Like I say, his fullbacks will try and go into the middle of midfield, but again, it's just another position where someone is trying to think about what they're doing rather than necessarily knowing with clarity what their purpose is in the game. And we've seen opposition teams aim at Thompson quite a lot, actually, throughout the Schumacher reign.
Okay, so what would you say your big players are? Who are your big players or players that Leeds fans should look out for?
There's a couple who've been playing pretty well in recent weeks. I would say Wouter Burger, a central midfielder. He's I'd be very surprised if he's still in this league in 2 or 3 years' time. Pretty young, joined from Basel in the summer for a fee of a few million. Just looks like a quality player. Already captains when Lewis Baker rather isn't on the pitch. Or Josh Laurent isn't on the pitch. Just a quality midfielder, the kind of stereotypical Rolls Royce in that sense, you know, tall, good on the ball, runs around, gets himself about a bit and can play the killer passes quite well. And the other one is probably Bae-jun Ho, again, youngster signed in the summer from Korea, and just a genuinely technically excellent footballer. He's got a lot to come in terms of his final product, but got his first goal against Cardiff, albeit from a rebound, but again, just a genuinely excellent technical creative footballer.
So where does he play? He's listed as an attacking midfielder here on Transfer Market. Is he a winger or centre mid?
Yeah, he's probably more of a number 10, but we've been playing him wide left for the majority of games. I think particularly given how poor our midfield has been off the ball, it's a bit of a risk to keep him in there. I'd be surprised if he's anywhere else, if he plays against Leeds especially.
Okay, so if we just talk about the game itself, I mean, how do you think, how does Stoke like to attack at the moment under Schumacher?
As I say, it's kind of get the ball forward through the lines. Your fullbacks will come on the inside and try and create that space to get it out wide. And from that point, let the front players do what they do best. Whether it'll be the same against Leeds, I'm not sure. We saw against QPR that it kind of turned into attritional, get the ball quickly down the lines, get the ball quickly to fast players up front. And especially given kind of the form you guys are on, I'd be surprised if that's not the plan on Tuesday night.
Yeah, so you'll probably like set up in a 4-3-3 kind of as a defensive shape, 4-5-1 type defensive shape, you'd think.
Ordinarily, I would say yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Again, we're in a position where, in these kind of games where we've been trying to scrape results, he has switched to the three, particularly if there's players missing from fullback or centre half. So I would be wary of possibly being a 3-5-2 or a 3-4-3. But again, in possession, it ends up pretty similar, to be fair.
Yeah. Okay. In terms of defensive shape, I mean, do you tend to fall into a low block, or are you quite aggressive in the press? Something in between.
It has been pretty aggressive. We've fallen into the low block in those games where we think, oh Christ, we need a result here. And it's been mostly defending the box and keeping compact and narrow. But the pressing again is probably another gripe I have, in the sense that it's been pretty easy to play through our midfield when the opposition do get the ball. And I'm not necessarily sure that everyone's very clear on their roles off the ball when we are trying to press a little bit higher.
Right, so you might see them occasionally trying to press the centre-backs when they receive the ball and centre-forwards will step and people don't go with him or something.
Yes, yeah. The centre-halves will try and man-mark as much as they can behind the lines, and then it will be a vague sense of a mid-block depending on how the game's going. As it opens up a little bit, if we're one or two down, it would turn into a bit of a frenzy at that point.
Okay. So, yeah, Leeds generally, I would say, are a good transition team. I mean, that's our strength more than and we're pretty good against low blocks in possession. But I would say transition is definitely our thing. So we tend to like to draw the opposition out, try and bait them out, you know, let the keeper and the centre-halves hold the ball. So I guess, do you think Stoke will fall for that? And do you think they'll come out of Leeds at all?
I would be very surprised if we're not pretty defensive and pretty solid and pretty calm. Well, not calm on the ball, rather pretty risk averse on the ball. A lot will depend on the result tomorrow as we're recording this. So we've got Middlesbrough at home, not in great form themselves, and that will be a huge game. We're at the level of kind of technical directors coming out and saying, we need you all first 10 minutes, we need noise in the stadium. So to give an idea of where the vibe is at the club, I'd be very surprised if we're very aggressive in that game. I think it's more likely to be a kind of direct, low possession approach for that.
Okay, so Leeds defensively, pretty solid these days. I think we're defending very well at the moment. So how do you feel that Stoke will try and hurt Leeds in attack?
I think it's probably going to be an attempt to try and do it on transition as well from us. We've got a couple of new players and one of them, Milan Manhoef, taken from the Netherlands for €4 million, I think, in January. Very direct, very kind of dribbly winger. I'd be surprised if he's not told to just stay on the right and stay as far up as possible, and we'll try and hit them on the counter. It'll be very interesting to see if Niall Ennis is still playing up front at that point. Again, very quick on the counter. All of his goals at Plymouth last season were in Schumacher's side, coming from very quick, fast counters, get into the box, get one or two touches and finish. So I think that's probably the aim, is to keep you at bay and aim to get something on the counter-attack.
Well, if it's any consolation, Junior Firpo is probably our weakest defender at left-back, and he does struggle with direct pace behind him, so there you are.
Excellent. Well, thank goodness for that.
Yeah, so absolutely. So Manhoef might be a danger man for you in that respect.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Have you got any notable injuries or suspensions ahead of the game?
Injuries, there's a few. I'm aware that Junior Chamadou, the fullback, is out for, I think, 6 weeks from yesterday's press conference. Jordan Thompson will be coming back from suspension, so he should be available. Ryan Mai had a spell with the under-23s, has then been injured and is now coming back, so possibly it'll be a bit too early for him as well. And Ender Stevens is, as I say, a long-term injury there.
Okay, could you give us a best guess at your lineup?
Yes, I'm going to go for Iverson in goal. A back three-ish of Hoover, Wilmot and Rose. And then in front of that, Gooch, Laurent, Berger and Jordan Thompson as a left wing back. And then Manhoef, Ennis and Bae-Jun-ho.
Okay. And we don't ask for predictions, but what I will ask is, how do you think this game's going to go? How's it going to be won or lost?
First goal.
First goal.
I think whoever scores the first goal has got, well, I won't say will win it, but has got a much greater chance of doing so. That's been what's key under Schumacher. Yeah. I think that in 12 games, I think he's had as manager, we've got 1 point from games where we've conceded first, and that was Watford away. So it's, if we concede first, I put the bets on for 2 or 3.
Right.
Would be my advice.
Fair enough.
Not actual tipping advice, yeah. Just in case anyone blames me for that.
Okay, no worries, George. Well, thanks for that. So where can our listeners find your content online?
So if you look on Twitter at Potterlytics, so Potter, LYTICS, there's a website, potterlytics.blog, and patreon.com/potterlytics.
Yeah, I can recommend, guys, look at his blog. I've just been reading his blog from the Cardiff City game from last week, and excellent content. Sorry it wasn't a win for you, but
that's
it's
right.
A good blog. Some good
it's been a year now, and I haven't done a positive piece for a while, so we'll get there one day.
One day. Okay, well, thanks for your time, George. Appreciate that.
Thanks very much for having me on. It's a pleasure.
So, yeah, that was a good chat between you, George, and Bert, wasn't it, Dan?
Yeah, there's the cute boys, Bert. I mean, let's just talk about Bert. Yeah, no, it was good. Good interview. George was excellent. I mean, as all of our guests have been, really. I think we've been really lucky. It's like, it's one of the cool things about doing this is the kind of going and finding people, I guess, like us in the opposition fan base, and you can always have a really good chat and learn something about them, you know. And they're always like decent guys, aren't they? And sort of friendly. And there's kind of, I feel like there's quite a nice community of, you know, football stat nerds knocking around in the EFL, and it's, you know, and it's just nice to talk to like-minded people about their club.
Yeah, exactly. It can be hard to find people in our own fan base who are into football the same way we are, because we're quite niche in the way we appreciate football. So yeah, it's good to talk to real people about stats and tactics. So yeah, I can feel that.
Yeah.
So we'll crack in with some questions about what happened there. So what do you think that there could be anything we do, sorry, that Stoke do differently against us compared to the preview fixture, considering all that George said?
Yeah, well, I guess they've obviously changed manager, haven't they? They've got Schumacher in since we played them last. It was Alex Neil, wasn't it, last time? So the way he talked about them, I guess he's looking to play a bit more of a free-flowing kind of a relational style football. We're trying to get really nice passing combinations going and getting them playing, you know, a more front foot kind of free-flowing kind of style of play. So in a funny way, and I wasn't particularly like worried about that game when we played them last time, which I should have been because we lost. But I think they could be almost like the ideal opposition for us, because they might come out and play. They might, we'll see, but they might come out and play against us. And they seem to have some defensive weaknesses and, you know, don't seem to be all that strong on the transition. So I feel like they could be quite an open team, and they kind of perhaps quite ideally set up for our strengths, really.
Yeah, I did get quite a bit of those sort of vibes from the interview with George, that there is some things that we definitely should be able to get at.
Yeah.
I think with this one being at Elland Road, maybe they won't be quite as free-flowing and open as what they have been against some sides.
Yeah.
A lot of teams have adapted styles when they come to Elland Road, and it's been such a fortress for us that teams can't help but show that a bit of respect, I think. So I think it is quite natural that teams do shift their usual approach a little bit, but it does maybe seem like a coach who does want to get his own style across. I mean, he was at Plymouth before.
That's right.
I'm saying that.
Yeah, he was Ryan Lowe's assistant at Plymouth. So Ryan Lowe, who's now Preston boss, had done quite well at Plymouth, got the Preston gig, and I think Schumacher basically stayed on and took the gig himself and did well. He got them out of the League One last year. They came up with Ipswich, didn't they, and Sheffield Wednesday. They won last year. I think they won the title, didn't they, last season? Yeah, they did. Wednesday had to come up for the playoffs. Ipswich were second. And they were kind of a little bit like Ipswich this year in the Championship, in that, you know, they were kind of, you know, winning games when perhaps they didn't necessarily deserve to the whole time. And, you know, they were kind of, you know, like outperforming their XG. So they were very much a kind of in-flow state sort of team. So, yeah, it's kind of, obviously, he's taken over a Stoke City team low on confidence rather than that Plymouth team that were very high on confidence when they came up. So you got to wonder if, you know, his methods only working because, you know, the whole club and everyone was confident after a promotion and taking over a relegation team isn't necessarily perhaps a good thing for a manager of his style. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, there is potentially something to that. And I think he had done a good job at Plymouth, and I think the underdog status may have worked for them quite a lot. I think teams may have underestimated them a little bit. So that may have played into their hands, and they've done better than what maybe their squad should have done, because their squad isn't the best. It's quite young. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he goes with Stoke and if he does manage to keep them up. And yeah, but about their squad overall, which players do you think that we need to look out for, both good and bad?
There's quite a lot of kind of like guys that have been around the block and like a kind of steady Championship players that you've heard of. So like Edna Stevens, you know, previously at Sheffield United, a lot of guys like that. I mean, he's 33 now, so perhaps the back end of his career. And Ben Pearson, he used to be at Preston, a real kind of gnarly kind of defensive midfielder, guys like that. Josh Laurent, who played at Reading for years. Lewis Baker, who we'll all know. There's Tyrese Campbell, who looked like a bit of a wonder kid a few years back, and he think he got a nasty injury and his career hasn't quite kicked on. So they're the kind of established names that you might know and have heard of. But it sounds a little bit like the players that George was more impressed with is like Wouter Burger, like defensive sort of central midfield player they've got, Dutch guy that came in. And I think he was really hot on Jun Ho Bae, a attacking midfielder stroke winger who, Japanese, I think he is, who scored at the weekend, just gone actually against Middlesbrough this weekend, just gone. And they look like kind of fun, decent players, actually, like interesting pickups, you know, that could, perhaps in a better team, could perhaps look like real strong players in the Championship and, you know, be the sort of player a club picks up and keeps for a year or two and then sells for a good profit, those kind of players, which I guess is the point of that kind of recruitment they're trying to do. In terms of the forward line, like I say, Tyrese Campbell, if he can get any fitness going long term, I think there's a potentially very good player there, but he's not necessarily shown it. They've had a guy recently playing, Niall Ennis, centre forward, guy they picked up from Blackburn. Don't know too much about him, but I actually watched Stoke versus Blackburn, funny enough, in prep for this. Watched half of Stoke v Blackburn, and he scored the Stoke goal in that game and took it really well, actually. Looked like quite a strong, athletic guy. Took the ball down well and put it away nicely. So, again, I haven't seen tons of him, but that little snippet, he looked fairly capable. So, yeah, there's a few players there. I think I'm most looking forward to seeing Junho Bae and Wouter Berger, though. They sound like real interesting players.
Yeah, I would agree. And from what I watched, the one player who did stand out probably most for me was Berger. He definitely did impress me as a midfielder who is good at both elements of the game from midfield. He's not shy of winning the ball, and he's also pretty progressive in the way that he plays in midfield. So he's definitely one to watch out for, who will be linking up the play between the back and the front area. I think George also mentioned Milan Manhoff as another player to watch out for. And just to correct something you said earlier, Junho Bae is Korean rather than Japanese. Just a little thing, just in case anyone would be offended by that. I'm not, but who knows? But yeah,
I should look at the flag, shouldn't I?
Indeed. But yeah, they've got a relatively strong side for the championship. Nothing which is amazing, but I think we should be higher up the table than what it maybe is.
Yeah,
I think, and that also feels out with when I had a quick look at the data. So I had a look on same way I always use when we do these. If you see Opta's the analyst, which that's all of that for the championship. And lots of their XG stats put them more mid-table than where they are, which is third from bottom, I believe. So their XG is 12th in the league. They've had 31... Oh, sorry, this is XG against, rather. XG against is 12th. So they've let in 31 XG and conceded 31 goals from that. So it must exactly on, which is quite rare. And then for the XG for themselves, they were 14th for XG, 27.86. However, from that nearly 28 XG, they've only scored 19 goals. So I think that has been a bit of an issue for them, is finding a prolific goal scorer. And their top scorer for the season has only got 5 goals. But yeah, they've had a bit of a problem with putting the ball in the back of the net. And I think quite a chunk of their games have been pretty tightly contested affairs, where just one more goal may have got them 3 points or converted a loss into a draw. So there's a fair bit of variance which they've been on the wrong side of this season. So I think this game will probably be tougher than what their table position says that it is. I'm not saying that we should be scared of Stoke. That would be ridiculous. But we still shouldn't be taking them lightly. This isn't going to be an easy game. No game in the Championship is easier, as every manager across the league tells you every single week. But they say it, but it's true. No game in the Championship is easy. And just to reiterate the lineup, which George said for us there, he said that they're going to be shifting to a 3-at-back formation, so a 3-4-3, I believe he said. And that's a bit of a change from their usual 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3 that they've played most of this season. And I think this could well be the case. There have been a few teams who have come to Leeds and changed to a back three formation, even though they haven't used one all season. They have used one a little bit this season. They've had a back three on, I think, two, maybe three occasions. So it's not a formation that they haven't used. I don't think they've used it under Schumacher, though. So that's another one. However, I believe, I'm not sure if it was when Schumacher was in charge, but Plymouth did also change from a back four to a back three against us as well. So yeah, there's definitely form for teams shifting up formation against us. And the team he said was Iverson in goal, Hoiver, Wilmot and Rose at the back. Then the midfield four being Gooch, Laurent, Berger and Thompson. And then I think three of Manhoff, Ennis and Bae. So yeah, what do you think of that team? Would that be put up a good challenge against us, do you think?
Yeah, it's pretty strong. I mean, yesterday they played a 4-3-3. They played 4-3-3, and I think they had Baker in the midfield, and they just had obviously the back four. So, who was missing out of that lot? Is it Wilmot? No, Wilmot and Rose played at the back, so it must have been Thompson missed out, and I think Gooch played left back, and Hoover played right back. So, if they do go a 4-3-3, you probably just expect to see Lewis Baker come in as the extra midfielder. And if Lewis Baker does play, then watch out for set pieces, because we've not been great defending recently, and he's quite good at them, as we all know. But yeah, like I say, it seems pretty strong. I think they seem happy with that kind of Laurent Berger kind of double pivot, don't they, midfield? That seems to be the main thing. It's I think the forward line seems fairly lively, doesn't it? Ennis, Manhoff sounds pretty quick. Bay's been lively and good recently, particularly the goal, like I say, I saw him score against Bury yesterday. So it's not, it doesn't stink of a relegation team, does it? You don't look at that and compare it to like Rotherham, do you, or Millwall or whatever, those sort of teams. I just think it should be kind of where Plymouth are now in the league, shouldn't it, or where Borough are in the league, you know, that kind of lower mid table.
Yeah.
I mean, I made that point to George in the interview that like the XG, you know, according to FB Ref, they were kind of 14th in the XG table, but lower. And he made the point about like game state a little bit, and he said they've been game state a lot this year, so they're going behind quite a lot and then trying to get back into games and getting picked off. And it's just it's been a frustration of them of theirs. So, yeah, I can say it's pretty solid. I'm interested to see how Laurent and Berger go as a pair in Bay and Manhoff. I think they look like might be interesting players, but it doesn't fill me with massive fear. I think stylistically it could be something that we can handle fairly well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And before we move on to the rest of the analysis, we're going to go for a quick ad break. But first, a little bit more about our Patreon. Don't worry, patrons, you don't have to hear this bit. Patreon is a media platform where you can support content creators you enjoy and get a little bit extra content in return. Our patrons get access for as little as $1.99 per month, which gives you ad-free podcasts. And if you want to pay a little bit more, you get other benefits, including early access to our preview pods, such as this one, analysis articles, videos, and bonus podcasts. We have three tiers in total, which are, Dan?
The Berry tier, which is for ad-free podcasts, at $1.99. The Click tier, which is ad-free podcasts, early access to preview pods where possible, at $3.99, and the Pablo tier, which is all of the above, including articles, pods, and videos for £4.99 per month.
And that Patreon website is again, Dan?
patreon.com/ASAW Patreon.
Perfect.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So now on to the Leeds part of this analysis. So first of all, injuries. So I think the main injuries are still just Strouk and obviously our long-term one, Ballas, who I don't think, we always mention every week, but we know he's probably not going to play again this season. I'm sorry to any Leeds stars who were offended by that. But yeah, hopefully there's been no further injuries caused in the...
There was nothing obvious yesterday, was there, in the game? No one limped off that I could see. So unless it's well covered, I think we're good.
Yeah, I don't think there's any new injuries, which is always good news. So do you think there'll be any difference in how we approach this game in possession?
No, I think Stoke look like they're trying to play a bit of football, and they look like they're susceptible to a press. So I wonder if we might kind of get quite aggressive with them on the press. It might be one for really going at them a little bit, especially if they try and play out. I mean, Stoke aren't totally averse to kind of playing it long and playing it direct. But I think there is a tendency or a desire to play a little bit on the deck from Schumacher. So I think there's opportunities so to go at them in terms of the press. But in terms of our build-up, I think we're just going to end up playing this kind of Red Bull system we're playing at the moment, isn't it? We're like a tight front four and then a bit of width from our fullbacks. But I think this is one game where it might actually be fine, because I think Stoke do have a tendency to leave big gaps between the lines. I think, you know, I think we could kind of get around them, the outside of them, and in behind them quite easily. So I think probably just being a quite an intense game where we try and play forward fairly quickly might actually work in this game. I think Stoke looked like they struggled against Blackburn in the game I watched, who Blackburn played it fairly kind of direct, and Stoke really struggled with that. So I wouldn't be shocked if we play fairly direct and get in behind them quite a lot.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. And so I think you probably mainly covered the out of possession side there. I do probably expect us to be quite aggressive. We're at Elland Road, so that is usually the way that we would approach it at Elland Road. So I would expect us to be quite aggressive, and that would play into Stoke being a little bit vulnerable to a press as well. So probably don't need to cover that question in too much more detail than that. But is there a Leeds player or players that you can see having a big impact on the outcome of this game, either from a good sense or a bad sense?
Well, I think it's going to be a game where we have a lot of the ball, isn't it? And we're going to be kind of dictating the tempo quite a lot. So I'm really hoping for a bit more of Grev than we saw yesterday. I've obviously, in the previous pod, I kind of talked about how I was a little bit disappointed with the way he played the game. And I'm hoping to see him be a little bit more aggressive and a little bit more, take a few more risks on the ball and look to spread the play a bit more and just, you know, that kind of Grev that kind of broke into the team back in, you know, West Brom around Christmas time, wasn't it? He got into the team around then and actually played pretty well and was playing kind of like expansive passes and getting over the top. And we were liking his game early because that element of it was a bit different from Ampadu. He showed that kind of longer passing range. I'd like to see that a little bit more. And I think this would be a good game for it because I think we've probably got the athletic and pace advantage over Stoke's back line. So I think it'd be a good one to, you know, for him to play the ball quickly forward to into our forwards. So if he does that and our forwards do get a good ball high and wide and early, I think our forwards could feast here. I think Grover's important in this one.
I would definitely agree with that. He does definitely need to show a bit more in this one and try to get ball into wider areas with a bit more impetus and just get it, especially if there's some change and maybe see Dan James starting in this game. But we'll get into that for the predicted lineup. But yeah, if Andy is playing, I would want to see some more direct passes getting down that flank just to try to make use of his pace, because I don't think Stoke really have that much pace in their back line. I don't think there's many teams in the Championship who do really have a great abundance of pace. It would be an interesting one. So yeah, I would agree with that too. So we'll move on to the predicted lineup and I'll quickly go into what I think that would look like. So obviously we Melier in goal. I'm not sure on the right back situation. I think there is potential again for Roberts to start this game, and he definitely did do good against Huddersfield. He set up our only goal, so I would expect him to be at least on the mind of Farker for a player who could come into this. Considering we do have three games in like 7 days or 6 days, however you want to say it. I say seven, but some people say six in this. But yeah, there's definitely should be some rotation here, but that's generally not something that Fark does. So it wouldn't surprise me if the game is if it's an unchanged lineup. It's no injuries that we don't know about. So I'm just going to say it's going to be an unchanged lineup. I'm not sure if you think any different.
I've got a sneaking feeling Dan James is going to get a shout here. I think in the Leicester game and this game, he definitely added something that we weren't getting from Nonto. And I want to make it clear, I think Nonto is a really great player of talent, and I think we should keep developing him, giving him lots of minutes, but I just do think in terms of the profile and the way the team sets up, I think Dan James just offers something a little bit different from the other players, and I think it feels like a more balanced attack with Dan James. You know, when you've got Rutter and Somerville, who are quite kind of ball hungry, out there and kind of do tend to go towards the ball, I think having Dan James just running the other way and stretching the game and being a different kind of threat to those guys helps. I think when you've got Nonto, you've got something akin to Rutter and Somerville on that same side, and it all kind of converges and it kind of gets a bit clogged up in the middle sometimes. Although sometimes when it really comes off, it's great because, you know, Nonto's fabulous. He's a great player, as is Somerville and Rutter. So it's just more of a balance thing. And I'm getting the impression, I'm hoping Fark sees it the same way as me. I mean, he's a professional. I'm not. I'm just a numpty on the podcast. But I hope he saw it the same way as me. I thought Dan James helped against Leicester, and I thought he helped yesterday against Huddersfield in those two games. So I'm hoping that's what happens, and I hope Dan James starts. And I'd be happy to see Robert start, but I think Dan James is the big one for me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think if there was one like to come in to change the status quo, that would be James, because he had been so effective recently when he's been kicking off the bench and that does definitely give Farker something to think about, both options for right back and right midfield on that side. Mm. And maybe the only ones who I think could change, because I think Firpo's been in good form, so I don't think he's likely to change unless he's maybe got some fitness concerns and maybe can't play so many minutes and maybe want to give Byram some minutes in this game. That's enough potential. But I think
yeah.
I think the most changes we'll see is maybe one change. I think.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens on Tuesday. So, next question. What do you expect watching this game of football will look like?
It's going to be, like I say, I think Schumacher wants Stoke to play football, and I think to some extent they're going to want to step out and play a bit. But they've dropped into the relegation zone, or they had done. Obviously, they got a useful win yesterday, so you kind of wonder if they're in kind of damage limitation mode, and he might go against his instincts and like George suggested on the interview, go for that back three and play the low block. But I just don't think it's their natural game, so I think naturally at some point they will step out and come after Leeds. Because that's what Schumacher wants, and that's what you imagine he's training most of the time. So there's a chance that they might come a little bit like Watford did. Remember way back when they came and they kind of caught between two stools. They weren't quite a deep block, and they weren't quite a high pressing team, and they kind of got caught between two stools, and they kind of didn't really work for them. I'm kind of from a selfish Leeds fan perspective, I'm hoping for that, and I wouldn't be shocked if that's what we see. We see a team that kind of comes in low blocks and then steps out, and it kind of falls apart quite quickly. If it does and we can get a goal ahead, I think we could do some damage. I think as George said, and this is something I felt watching them against Blackburn and prep for this, that like they really are a game state-y team. Every team's a game state-y team, but they're particularly affected by, or particularly affected against Blackburn by going behind, and they really kind of opened up, and Blackburn absolutely had a field day after going one up, just hitting Stoke on the counter. And I just feel like we could do the same. You know, we're not massively dissimilar to Blackburn now. Our threats are not totally dissimilar to Dolan and Smodic, you know, kind of narrow wingers that play quite direct and run at them and stuff. So I think we've got kind of similar kind of threats, if not better. So I feel like we could have some joy here. Could, but I'd hate to see what would happen if they nicked a goal and, you know, we were chasing it again and they did have a reason to sit in.
I would agree with all what you said there. I would, probably the overriding thing I would say, I would probably expect us to dominate most of the ball, as we generally do at Elland Road. Not many teams have come to Elland Road and had even close to 50-50 with us. So I think we will have more of the ball. So Stoke will be looking to hit us in transition quite a lot. And something which George mentioned in the interview as well was they do look to hit in transition a lot. So although they do like to play on the floor and play out from the back, they're also not averse to hitting the team quickly, directly, when they need to. So yeah, it could be a bit of a open game, this, I've got a feeling. I think
it's worth pointing out the forward line's pretty quick, I think. I think Manhoff, yeah. Is it Manhoff? And Bay are pretty quick guys, and they look pretty quick. So I think they do have pace up front, and so I really could, yeah, like then Tyrese Campbell, if he comes off the bench, he's pretty quick. So there's a really good reason for them to kind of hit those forwards early, isn't it? Because, like, you know, if Manhoff is as quick as what George suggested, and I kind of suggested this to George in the interview, that, you know, perhaps Firpo isn't the best dealing with direct pace going behind him. So that could be somewhere where they get some joy. So, you know, I think we shouldn't be overconfident, or we shouldn't be kind of complacent to their threats. But I think we can really hurt them. It's that kind of game, isn't it, really?
I would agree. And we can generally hit harder on games where a team is willing to be open with us. Mm. So if it does turn into that sort of tit-for-tat, direct, transitional battle, I think we should do well in that. Well, we're touching a little bit in the final question there. So where do you think this game will be won or lost, Dan?
Well, it's just who wins the transitional battles, isn't it, really? Because I think it's inevitable this game becomes that at some point. So as long as we outgun them in the transition, which I think we will do, I think we do against pretty much anybody in this division, we'll win the game. But you kind of worry about set pieces, don't you, at the moment a little bit. I don't think we're defending set pieces brilliantly. I thought Huddersfield got a bit of joy flicking balls on. Leicester got some joy flicking balls on from the near post. So something about like balls that you know, balls beating the first man at the moment, isn't it, at Leeds, is a bit of a weakness. So if they do play Lewis Baker, they've got a really good set piece taker there, so that's something they could hurt us with. But I think our transition threat is bigger than their set piece threat, so we should come out on top.
Well, yeah, and just touching a bit on the set piece threat, I think that is the only way that teams have been really threatening us. We still haven't conceded a goal in open play this year, which is just sound enough.
Is that right?
Yeah. Because all the goals, it was either them trying to think, well, the one against Leicester, which was in set piece, and obviously the one against Huddersfield.
And Preston.
And Preston, I believe that was set piece as well. So, yeah. It's astounding that we've not conceded a goal from open play. I wasn't surprised we conceded one in a set piece against Huddersfield, because they are one of the best set piece takers and set piece attackers in the league, and the one who scored it was their top scorer with now 9 goals from set pieces.
Yeah, it's crazy. And Sauber Thomas has got great delivery, hasn't he? He's probably, you know, as good as anybody in the division at that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But we've diverted a bit, and where I think the game will be won or lost is quite similar to what George said, and I think the first goal will be massive in this game. I think if we do score first, then things will fall apart quite quickly for Stoke, and that is something which you saw on the game which you watched as well, wasn't it, that things went a bit badly against Blackburn after the first goal. So yeah, that's where I'm saying. But that is everything for this one. We will be back with a review of this game. But first, a quick reminder, the website for our Patreon is patreon.com/ASAW Patreon. Now all that's left for me to say is thank you very much to Dan.
Cheers, Martin.
Thank you. You too, dear listener. Enjoy the game and see you next time. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.